Geeky Girl Gap Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this binge-worthy episode of Geeky Girl Gap. I'm Candace, and with me today is Brie.
Hi.
And Vanessa.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about one of our favorite pastimes, binge-watching shows on Netflix. So guys, what is your favorite, I guess we should first do Netflix original shows.
There's so many of them.
I had no idea how many there were until I was like researching for this episode. Like, you know, you hear of Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, etc. But like, they seriously, like, they it's everything. There's so many different shows.
They're killing the game.
I feel like they're just like throwing things at a wall and literally seeing what sticks and what gets them Emmys.
Well, you have to get an agent, or you have to have like a manager and agent to even get a meeting with them. So
you can't just like submit a proposal and be like, let's make this Netflix. And they're like, okay.
No, I wish I would have done that by now.
Do you guys watch those? Like the ones that you've mentioned, like they're kind of like noteworthy ones that everybody knows are Netflix produced, which are like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black.
Actually, I've never seen them.
Me either. Did you watch them, Vanessa?
Well, so Alex, my boyfriend, he watched House of Cards pretty religiously, and I know that that one's pretty binge worthy. But I didn't see that one. But the Orange is the New Black, I watched I could definitely see how it is binge worthy because it's very intense and you definitely want to keep the story going. But I actually stopped somewhere in the first season because I couldn't take it. It was just too much. It was like too dramatic and too like, I don't know. There was too much happening that really just like made me uncomfortable that I couldn't continue with it.
That's the thing about the way I binge watch is I'll binge watch comedies nonstop because I can't handle too much drama.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the drama for me because, yeah. Like there's two in particular that are more on the dramatic side of network originals that I was all about. And I would probably, well, I think I've watched Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina probably like 3 times now.
Yeah, but that's not like really it is a drama, but it's not like a,
it's like a light. I mean, there it's
like dark humor. It's like dark humor.
Yes, it's very dark humor. They list it as a dramatic show, like a drama.
Yeah,
I know. It was very interesting.
Yeah, I think because like Sabrina has that fantasy element, and like I'm binge watching the series of Unfortunate Events. After I watched the new season, now I'm watching the whole series together. And it's, okay, so sad things happen to these kids, but it's, again, kind of not quite fantasy, but, you know, it's playful in a way.
Yeah, it's like it's dark, but it still has like that, fantastical or whatever element that you would expect.
Yeah, and none of that stuff that would happen in the real world. Like, Olaf's disguises, everyone would know it's Neil Patrick Harris under there. Like,
yeah.
He would have gone to jail a while ago. So, like, that part's like, okay, these kids wouldn't actually be in danger in the real world. So that makes me feel better.
You would hope.
I hope so. But even though there's kids all over the world. Okay, never mind. I got sad.
It's okay. You don't think about it.
I'm not thinking about it. Don't think about it.
But that actually kind of was another thing where another show that I couldn't end up watching like back to back because it once again just had so many elements where you're just really uncomfortable with the fact. Well, I think it's not just the uncomfortableness. I couldn't watch series of Unfortunate Events because it feels the same way as Orange is the New Black to me in certain ways, as far as like just the, not just the fact that it's uncomfortable, but the fact that it's like everything just keeps going, like things just keep spiraling downward and downward and downward and nothing good ever redeems it. You know what I mean? Like nothing positive ever comes out of it, or like that's how I feel at least. Like it's just too much of the like, oh wow, the situation is getting crazier and crazier, and no one can do anything about it, and it's all very unjustified and it's horrible. You know what I mean?
Did you read the book series?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I think it helps that I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
that.
But did you not have the same feeling when reading the books? Like, I assume that it kind of went the same direction, right?
Yeah. No, the books, because I was like a teenager when I read them. And yeah, you do get that feeling too. But you're just like, what's going to happen to them? And you're like, I know it's going to be unfortunate. It's in the title.
I think for me, it's just that with those kinds of shows, even though they are very well done and I enjoy them from an artistic standpoint, I would just rather read a synopsis afterwards of what happens to everybody, because I'm still like, oh my God, I really want to know what happens, but I cannot go through this right now. Like, it's just too much.
That's what I did with the show on Haunting Hill. Or is that
what Haunting at Hill House or something like that?
The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
So I couldn't watch that, but I wanted to know what the story was, because everyone was talking about it.
Yeah. So that's why I read the synopsis for those ones. And I mean, like, I understand why they are binge worthy. And I think that there are obviously a ton of people who do binge those kinds of shows, or at the very least, like, love watching those kinds of shows. But yeah, for me, it becomes really stressful.
Like Stranger Things, I binge watch, but I guess you were saying, Candace, it's another like kind of fantastical element, I should say. I also binge watch Sense8. Have you guys ever seen that one?
Mm-mm.
No, but I've heard of it. It's like sci-fi elements, right? Or
yes, and it's so, so good. And it's also because they canceled it after 2 seasons, and then they brought it back. Well, I don't know when the Christmas episode really takes place, but it has 2 seasons and a Christmas special, because it was so expensive to produce, because it took place across the world. It was so good, though. I mean, like, every character was just so fully developed. The storylines were so good. And it had LGBTQ characters on it, which was great to see. So one that's dark, well, it's a mystery, but it doesn't have any fantastical elements. It's actually a French Netflix original called The Forest. Have you guys seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's so good. If you like finding out what happens to a missing girl, binge watch it.
Well, that's the thing again. Like, there are so many original Netflix series. Yeah. Like, I had no idea.
I know. Like, you kind of skated over Stranger Things, but I think that Stranger Things, like, was obviously a huge deal. And that was actually probably one of the first ones that I realized was like a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stop watching that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even, obviously, as you guys know, like, a horror person, it kind of dabbles definitely in that direction, but like, I loved it.
It's so good. I mean, it is unfortunate that the Duffer brothers stole the idea.
Oh,
it's so, so good.
I didn't know that part of it.
Oh, yeah. They stole the idea. They actually started casting with the same name as. So it's actually a whole lawsuit going on right now. But, you know, the writer had presented it to the Duffer brothers, to hopefully produce. And then the Duffer brothers decided to take that idea for themselves. And they started casting under the original name that had been presented to them. So they even changed it. And then they changed it, obviously, to Stranger Things. But yeah, there's a lawsuit happening with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to read about that because I had
super
no idea.
Super fun.
Really? Yeah. Duffer Brothers aren't the coolest dudes ever.
Well, that really sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on a happier note, I love the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, I had that on my list too. Titus. He's the best.
Titus is a landlord. I love them.
That is Lilith. Yeah, it's so easy to binge watch. I think, like, the sitcom well, the half hour comedy, really, they're like 22, 24 minutes, are just so easy to get through. And you're just like, oh, I just finished an entire season. What happened?
Yeah, no, sorry, I was just looking it up, but it is Lillian. You were right the first time.
Lillian, okay.
No. But yeah, I love it, because, yeah, it is one of those things that, yeah, sure, uncomfortable things happen, like I was talking about, but it's funny, and you know that, like, it's probably going to be okay in the end. Yeah. They just have
Well, what comedies do you like on there?
Besides Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? So I actually really like... and it's really weird because I didn't like it for the first episode or two, which was Big Mouth. I love that show, and it's so gross. It's so gross and weird. I don't know how I ended up liking this show, and I guess it's just because it's Nick Kroll and Jason Mantzoukas and all those awesome people, and whatchamacallit, the guy that I love but I can't remember his name right now, who's also a comedian.
It could be a lot of people.
Well, he's really big right now, actually. Right. John Mulaney.
Oh yeah, John Mulaney.
Yeah, he's great.
So yeah, I guess it's just maybe just because all of them are on there and they're just comedic geniuses, but I don't know. It's not something that I would have normally thought I would have liked ever.
I really enjoy it. I mean, there's actually, I know we were talking about comedies, but there's actually really great cartoon series, animated series, mm-hmm. On Netflix. Big Mouth is definitely one of them. I really love F is for Family. Have you guys seen that one? I haven't
seen that one. Mm-mm.
Oh, it's binge watch. It's great. And then also my all-time favorite, which I could watch any other time, but it's a mixture of that comedy plus, it gets deep. It's BoJack Horseman.
Mm. Oh, I've heard of that one. I don't think I'm going to like it based off of what I kind of know about it, but,
but I know. No, I think you would. It actually shows a true representation of mental health and
mm-hmm.
what people go through. I mean, it gets ridiculous at times. Animated ridiculous, oh, that could never happen. But then they tackle serious issues and just personal problems that people have. And I've cried in the show. Huh. I've just cried watching it. And I'm interesting. This is so good. I love it.
So what would you classify it as? Is it like a drama, humor, tragedrama, or what?
Well, I think sometimes the best shows involve dramedies where they, mm-hmm. Involve pieces of humor and then pieces
I wasn't sure if that's what, yeah,
drama,
that
was, yeah,
what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like one of the most real shows to me. And I know it's crazy because it's an animated show about a talking horse, but I feel with him on such a deeper level. It's so good, guys. It's so good. It's so good.
That may be something I check out then. I guess when it comes to that,
it has Hollywood elements. Yeah, Vanessa.
Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah, because when I'm thinking of the animated ones, or at least the one that I've watched lately, I watched Voltron, and that's a lot more lighthearted and more show than anything else. But it's something really easy and really light and just very cute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that if you're just looking to have a show on while you're I don't know, chilling on a Sunday or even doing chores on a Sunday or whatever, it's just kind of a nice lighthearted background thing that's really easily binged.
I mean, it's no Boss Baby. I will say that.
Oh, God.
Okay. There's so many. I'm just looking at this, and just, how many kids shows they have. And, how many seasons there are. It's insane. I had no idea. They have a bunch of Lego stuff. They got VeggieTales. Yeah. It's just crazy. They got Trolls.
Are you going to binge watch that next?
Yeah, of course. Things have been people. Something that everybody's been talking about is She-Ra, and I'm like, I've been meaning to watch that.
What is that?
She-Ra is based on that 80s show. She-Ra was like is a sister of whatchamacallit.
Is it He-Man?
Yeah, He-Man. That's what it was.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But everyone's saying that it's developed by a woman. It's, you know, the creators are women, and I'm sorry, words are hard right now, which is not good when you're doing a podcast. The character design is a lot different from the sexualized 80s, which is great. And it's just like, you know, it's like girl power.
Yeah.
Speaking of
girl power, I mean, kind of. Have you guys watched The Crown?
A little bit of it.
I always enjoy it when there's a, you know, a show or something of the like that gets me interested in history, because like I'm not a history buff. It's not that I dislike it. It's just that most of the ways that you learn about history for some reason to me are really boring. Like in a classroom setting, I found it fairly boring, but except for like, you know, the one time that I had like a really awesome teacher. But otherwise, like, I know I should know about it, but I don't. And like these things, at least, like, even though I know that like, obviously there's artistic liberties taken, it's one of those things that it piques my interest enough that I, at some point, am like, I should actually look this up and see like what's real and what's not. And at least have a idea of what, you know, what was happening. Because I'm always more interested in the sociological aspects of things anyway, which obviously a show will delve more into than a regular like history textbook. So The Crown is like, you know, the story of Queen Elizabeth and how, you know, like just the what they've aired so far is kind of her early years, like when she actually, you know, took over, and you know, the, you know, kind of building a relationship with her and her husband. And it's pretty, it seems like it moves pretty slow. So that's like, yeah, that's a little bit of a downside, I know, for most people, but like, I feel like it's packed enough with like just depth that the slowness of the show, like it doesn't really bother me, at least.
Yeah. It's just hard, especially when, like, those people are still alive, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's what bothers me.
Why is it bothering you, though?
I don't know, that they're alive and they're, like, it's different when you're watching something about real-life people who, like, died, like, decades ago and their family members aren't, like, out there. Well, immediate family members aren't out there. But another time, like, my mom and I were watching it, and my dad's Indian, and he's like, they need to give back the jewels to India, and like just like all this kind of stuff. But, you know, the British monarchy doesn't have the best relationship with India, so it's really easy to get mad at them.
True. Have you guys? Oh, okay. Here's a good question, because I know the first Netflix show I've been watched, which was one of their first original series, which was Hemlock Grove.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Now I'm actually reading the book right now, and I am a little disappointed with one of their castings, because they cast the whole like gypsy clan very white, and in the book they're not white. So, you know, they keep saying like brown in the book. I'm like, yes, this is what a gypsy is. And he keeps saying like, I'm half Italian and really hairy, and like literally the guy has like two pieces of hair on his chest, and like the whole time they're like, oh, Peter, you're really hairy, and I'm like, no, he's not. So only disappointment, but it does have Bill Skarsgård in it, and he is fabulous.
Oh, I know about you and it. Wait, was he it?
He was it.
Okay. There's just a few Skarsgårds out there, and I get them confused.
But what was your guys' first show?
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's the thing, is that I don't remember when I started watching all these, because, like, you know, like I said, it was kind of, I didn't realize all of these shows were Netflix originals until I was like, just looking them up right now. The one, like I said, the one that I remember watching that I knew was Netflix original was Stranger Things. Other than that, I'm not sure when I started watching these ones.
I'm just a sad individual.
Apparently. I guess, like, so we've been talking obviously about, like, what, you know, binge worthy, you know, shows we like. What do you guys think, or what is the biggest thing you look for in a binge-worthy show? Like, what do you, I know it's like, obviously it's defined in depending on what, who you are as an individual and what you like, but what for you is the most binge-worthy kind of thing you look for, like, element?
It's all about, like, what my friends are saying are good to watch. That's a lot of it. It's like, I want other people to go through it before I do and be like, yes, no, watch it.
Just so that you know that you're getting yourself into something that won't disappoint.
Yeah.
See, I like, well, I guess, travel the search on Netflix and just go down. And, like, that's how I found the foreign show, The Forest. Like, I was just like, you know what? I want to try and find something new that I really haven't seen before. And, you know, that's how I discovered The Forest. I discovered Safe with Michael C. Hall. That's a really good one. I look for things that just kind of captivate me, especially in the pilot. Unless I'm like, okay, I'll just give it another shot. Cause sometimes pilots can be like iffy, but I'm looking for a good story. I'm looking for great acting. I'm looking at, you know, character development, you know, just like if I am just actively there, I'm going to binge watch, you know, until I have to leave.
Well, like, I definitely agree with both of you. I mean, I agree with you, Candace, about, like, I hear a lot of, when, you know, when I hear a lot about a show, obviously that is how it starts. But then, you know, I think that I'm also on, you know, Bree's standard of, like, yeah, once I watch it, like, it just depends on what kind of show it is once I've actually started watching it. And I think that for me, like, the development and story and everything and all of that has to be good. But I feel like there has to be a delicate balance that not every show has. And obviously, like, that's different for everybody. But I mean, these shows, like, a lot of these shows are binge-worthy by a lot of different kinds of people because they are able to achieve a certain amount of balance.
They are. And what I like about Netflix, and, you know, I also have to say this goes along with, like, Amazon and Hulu as well, I feel like they've found a way just to make TV better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they give a lot more control to the creators, which...
They do. They trust them, which is amazing. You know, not like we were talking about, like, with some DC movies, it's like the producers don't even give, like, the director, writer, you know, any really say, and it just becomes so constricted. And I think that's what makes Netflix so good. It's just they're like, they go, here, we trust you. Make it. Like...
Well, yeah, and I also think that it's interesting what people can actually do with shows now, considering we do have this option of binging it. Because, you know, back before Netflix or any sort of streaming service, you know, you were watching week to week. And, you know, at the beginning, that meant that you had to have basically kind of a different story every single time. And now you can create these, like, intricate plots and, you know, characters and everything, because people are more set up in order to watch it. So you can create all of these different and interesting stories, based on the fact that we can now stream it and binge it.
Which is the best type of storytelling there is, you know? I'm not a huge fan on... I've lost my word.
Well, something that...
Sitcoms? Yeah. Sitcoms or procedural?
Yeah. Well, both, technically. They, you know, rely on standalone episodes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there is some value to that as well, especially, you know, considering they were, you know, when they first were on. I mean, that's what people were used to, and that's what people enjoyed, because it was just kind of a break from your day. You were watching, I mean, like, if you did know the show, then you were watching characters that you really liked, and they, like, everything would kind of be solved in a very short amount of time, which is kind of, you know, satisfying to a certain level.
Oh, definitely. And there's some sitcoms I like.
Yeah.
As well.
But nowadays it seems really weird, because when you are binging something like that, where everything is, you know, kind of all tied up at the end, it does feel a little, it's not like it's lacking, but at the same time, I feel like those sometimes are less binge worthy just because they were invented at a time where you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. TV shows back in the day, it was like before DVR, it's just so anybody could drop in and watch the show. Mm-hmm. And be like, okay, I get a general idea of what's going on. But mm-hmm. it can be some more, like you guys said, much more detailed. There's some more character development. And just, there's just, it's a different format. And it's less like 10 years ago, a series of unfortunate events, actually, it was 13 years ago, like the movie came out 15 years ago, sorry. And it was like they tried to cram 3 books into one movie. Because that's mm-hmm. like the only option they had. There were still miniseries, but like after once the 2000s happened, they kind of faded away. They were popular in the 90s, but yeah. So like, and I am just like, since I love that book series so much, like, and just rewatching it again, it's like as a fan, you're just like so happy that something you loved like got like what it deserved on screen, because that rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I'm like so thankful to Netflix. I'm like, thank you for like letting, like, because the author was involved, he was a producer, he was a writer, it was just a great series, and it did justice to the books that I loved for years.
Yeah, and that's always really exciting. Yeah, that's always amazing, because, you know, all the whole thing of like, oh, I'm so sad that, you know, the movie isn't as good as the book, or it left out so many things. You know, we always have that complaint. And when it comes to miniseries, a lot of times they'll be able to do more with it and actually really explore the entire book.
Yeah, and a lot of these TV shows, like, they took over Black Mirror and things that got canceled, or they just moved over to Netflix, and they're like movie caliber TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like, it's legit stuff. They don't.
Yeah. No, it's great. And then I know we wanted to also kind of talk about what shows that we have binged that are on Netflix currently, but are not necessarily Netflix originals, which I'm sure we have a ton of them. Maybe we should just
because we are going really long on this. Like, I was surprised we had so much to talk about. Well, I think that's it for today's episode. Mm-hmm. Brie, where can they find us online?
Oh, well, Candace, our viewers can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at Geeky Girl Gab.
We don't have viewers, we have listeners.
Okay. Well, Candace, our listeners can check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at Geeky Girl Gab. We want to hear your thoughts. There's like a million thousand Netflix originals. Please tell us your favorites. Tell us ones to check out, because the three of us need more to watch.
We obviously love to binge.
And I'm really surprised, but I don't want us to go into detail, but the Gilmore Girls, A Year in a Life was...
Well, that was obvious. I know it was, but like, and I binged that, but there was only 4 episodes, and like, we've already talked enough about Gilmore Girls to like,
Forever. Okay, that's it. I'm Candace.
I'm Brie.
I'm Vanessa.
Stay geeky.